But before that, let's chant the auspicious invocation prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Nigamakalpatarorgalitam phalam sukamukatamrita dravasam yutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavukaha Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam mudiraye nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttama shloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Today we are going to read from Brahma Samhita. Reading from Brahma Samhita, Chapter 5, Text 37. It's a known verse, so I will chant and you can also chant responsively. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis Tabhidya Yeva Nijarupa Taya Kalabhi Goloka Yeva Nivasatya Gilatma Bhuto Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis Tabhirya Yeva Nijarupa Taya Kalabhi Goloka eva nivasatta kilatma bhuto Govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami
So some prabhus would like to chant this verse.
I'm sorry, the verse is not up, but it's a
Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis
Continue.
Tabhirya Eva Nijarupa Taya Kalabhi Goloka Eva Nivasat Akilatma Bhuto Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
You'd like to chant? It's okay. Some other Prabhus like to chant? Okay, Mataji, anybody like to chant? Okay, let's get into the word-to-word meaning.
Ananda,
bliss, chit, and knowledge,
maya,
consisting of
rasa,
mellows,
prati,
every second,
bhavitabhihi,
who are engrossed with,
tabhihi,
with those,
yaha,
who,
eva,
certainly,
nijarupataya,
with his own form,
kalabhihi,
who are parts of portions of his pleasure potency.
Goloke,
in Goloka Vrindavana,
Yeva,
certainly,
Nivasati,
resides,
Akila Atma,
as the soul of all,
Bhutaha,
who exists,
Govindam,
Govinda,
Adi Purusham,
the original personality,
Tam,
him,
Aham,
I,
Bhajami,
worship. Translation by His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Swami Thakur Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in His own realm, Goloka, with Radha resembling His own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidants, Sakis, embodiments of the extension of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by His ever blissful spiritual rasa. Okay, let's chant it responsibly. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, residing in His own realm, Goloka, with Radha, resembling His own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency, possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidants, Sakis, embodiments of the extension of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by His ever blissful spiritual rasa. This is a very long purport. I'm not going to read the whole purport. I'm going to read portions of the purport, and we are going to discuss a few points. This is a very interesting purport. Probably you can all read in your own time this purport. Of course, for dull person like me, it requires multiple reading to understand what is there. But it's very interesting. Although the Lord Absolute and His potency are one and the self same existence, still they exist eternally as separate entities, as Radha and Krishna. In both the ecstatic energy and the transcendental Lord Krishna, there exist Shringara Rasa, amorous love, whose quality is inconceivable. The Vaibhava, extension of that rasa, mellow quality, is twofold, which is alambhana, proprietorship, and udipana, stimulation. Of these, alambhana is twofold, that is ashraya, supported, and vishaya, supporter. Ashraya signifies Radhika herself and the extension of her own form, and vishaya means Krishna himself. Krishna is Govinda, the Lord of Goloka. The gopis are the facsimile ashraya of that rasa. With them, Krishna indulges in eternal pastimes in Goloka. Nijarupataya means with attributes manifested from the ecstatic energy. The 64 activities in fine arts and crafts are as following. So the whole 64 arts list is given. For paucity of time, I'm not going to read that entire thing. I'm going to skip that portion. It's a description of what are the 64 arts. All these arts manifesting in their own eternal form are ever visible in the region of Goloka as the ingredients of rasa. In the mundane sphere, they have been unstintedly exhibited in the pastimes of Vraja by spiritual chit potency, yoga maya. So Sri Rupa says sanandataihi santita, that is, Krishna is ever manifest in His beauty with His infinite pastimes in Goloka. Sometimes the variant manifestation of those pastimes become visible on the mundane plane. Sri Hari, the Supreme Lord, also manifests His pastimes of birth, etc., accompanied by all His paraphernalia. The divine sportive potency fills the hearts of His paraphernalia with appropriate spiritual sentiments in conformity with the will of Krishna. Those pastimes that manifest themselves on the mundane plane
or his visible pastimes, and all those very pastimes exist in their non-visible form in Goloka beyond the ken of mundane knowledge. In his visible pastimes, Krishna sojourns in Goloka, Mathura and Dwaraka. Those pastimes that are non-visible in those three places are visible in their spiritual sites of Vrindavana. From the conclusions just stated, it is clear that there is no distinction between the visible and non-visible pastimes. The apostle Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on this shloka, as well as in the gloss of Ujjvala Neelamani and in Krishna Sandarbha, remarks that the visible pastimes of Krishna are the creation of his chit, spiritual potency. Being in conjunction with the reference to mundane function, they exhibit certain features which seem to be true by the influence of the limiting potency Maya. This is a very important sentence. I will read it again. Being in conjunction with the reference to mundane function, they exhibit certain features which seem to be true by the influence of limiting potency Maya. But these cannot exist in transcendental reality. What it means will be explained further. The destruction of demons, illicit paramarship, birth, etc. are examples of this peculiarity. This is the explanation of the previous sentence. The gopis are the extensions of the ecstatic energy of Krishna, so are exceptionally his own. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavitabhis tabhirya eva nijarupa taya kalabhi. This is what the shloka says. The gopis are the extensions of the ecstatic energy of Krishna, and so are exceptionally his own. How can there be illicit connection in their case? The illicit mistresship of the gopis found in his visible pastime is but the mundane reflection of transcendental reality. So again, this also has to be understood. We'll distinguish what is the mundane reflection and what is the transcendental reality. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will distinguish in the coming points. The hidden meaning underlying the words of Sri Jiva Goswami, when it is made explicit, will leave no doubt in the minds of the readers. Sri Jiva Goswami is our preacher of transcendental truth. So he is always under the influence of Sri Rupa and Sanatana. Moreover, in the pastimes of Krishna, Sri Jiva is one of the Banjaris. So he is conversant with all transcendental realities. The whole explanation of this verse is based on Jiva Goswami's explanation of the relationship between Radha and Krishna. So before explaining that particular relationship, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur establishes the authenticity of the person who is explaining the relationship, who is Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami is authentic person to explain this relationship. And he is not some scholar who is born out of nowhere. He is a Manjari and he is a follower of Rupa and Sanatana. So his explanation of this relationship is reality of this relationship. So that he wants to establish. So he establishes the authenticity of Jiva Goswami himself. There are some who, being unable to understand the drift of his statements, give meanings of their own invention and indulge in useless controversies. Sri Rupa and Sanatana say that there is no real and essential distinction between the leelas visible and non-visible. The only distinction lies in this, that one manifests in the mundane sphere whereas the other is not so. In the super mundane manifestation, there is absolute purity in the seer and the seen. This is very important distinction. There is a distinction in observing the Leela. The Leela is same. The Leela in the spiritual world, and when it is manifest in the material world, the Leela is same. But there is a distinction in the observance of the Leela, based on who observes the Leela. Let's do one thing. Since I am going to also make some explanations on the way, so better I chant also the Mangalacharana prayers so that I don't make any mistake. ओम अज्ञानतिमरंदस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वंदे अहम श्रीगुरून् श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखम करोति वाचालं पुनरं गायते कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं तारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं नमामि विष्णवाय कृष्णप्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते जयप्रकाशस्वामी नमः जयपरं दग्वापरं गौरवतां कथाञ्चन स्मृते यस्मिन् दुष्करं सुकरं भवेत् स्मृतिदेवपरीतं स्यात् श्रीचैतन्य नमामितं ऐ एम लिटिल मोर कम्फर्टेबल ओके सो लेट्स जस्ट recap up to this point. The initial portion of the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is explaining the nature of Radha and Krishna. Although the Lord Absolute and His potency are one and the self-same existence, still they exist eternally as separate entities, Radha and Krishna, which means that they are same in one sense because this is the potent and the potency. At the same time, they both are eternally two different identities who have two different functions, and for all essential purposes, they work as two different personalities, even though they are not two different personalities. But since they are the potency and the potent, they belong to each other. There is nobody in between in this relationship. There is nothing, there is nobody who is coming in between in the relationship of the potency and the potent. They are exclusively belonging to each other. So that's also explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then he explains that how the relationship is. The relationship is that one is the ashraya and the other one is the vishaya. Ashraya means the supported and vishaya means the supporter. Or vishaya is the subject and ashraya is the storehouse or is the shelter. Radharani shelters all the relationship rasas, and then they are exchanged with the subject matter who is Vishaya, who is Krishna, and there is an exchange which is taking place between them. So that is what is explained in the beginning. Okay. So this is the relationship between Radharani and Krishna. And then, as I explained, that Jiva Goswami, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur goes on to explain the authenticity of Jiva Goswami in explaining, in further exploring and explaining this relationship between Radha and Krishna. Okay. Then he says that he talks about the manifest pastimes of the Lord and the unmanifest pastimes of the Lord, and he is establishing that the manifest pastimes of the Lord are non-different from the unmanifest pastimes of the Lord. because both of them are coming from the chit potency. Both of them are coming from the spiritual potency of the Lord. What is manifest in this world is also the manifestation of the spiritual potency of the Lord. What is manifest in Goloka Vrindavana is also the manifestation of the chit potency of the Lord. So there is no question of differentiating between these two pastimes. This is also explained nicely by him. Now, what is the difference? There are twofold differences in these pastimes. One difference is explained in such a way that one is there in the material world, the other one is there in the spiritual world. This is one difference. The other difference is the perception of those who observe these pastimes. There are many people observing these pastimes of Radha and Krishna, both in material world and spiritual world. So according to the quality of the person who is observing these pastimes of Radha and Krishna, there is difference in perception of these pastimes. This is the second difference. That difference does not lie intrinsically in the pastime, but that difference lies outside the pastime, which means that that difference lies with the person who is observing these pastimes. Okay, so this is where we have reached. And there is also an important sentence which I read twice. It says that there are some points which says that the pastimes, when they are manifest in the material world, they seem to be limited by the rules of the material world because they have to be in line with the place where the pastimes are performed. But it is a seeming difference. That difference actually does not exist because the pastimes of the Lord are beyond the influence of Maya. So that is explained in terms of three relationships, which is killing of demons, the illicit paramarship, and the birth of the Lord. The Lord is Aja. He is unborn. This is explained in many, many scriptures. Many times it is explained that the Lord is unborn. But still, when his pastimes are manifest in the mundane world, he seemed to have a set of parents, and he is born to these parents. Sometimes he is born to these parents, conceived by them by the heart. Sometimes he is born to the parents, conceived by them by the womb. For example, Kapila Dev was conceived in the womb of Devukti. So the Lord can do anything. He can appear in any way he wants to appear. He is not limited by the rules of the material world. But still, certain times it looks as if the Lord is playing by the rules of the material world. But it should not be misunderstood that he is subservient to the rules of the material world. So that's a very, very important distinction which we have to understand when we look at these three specific pastimes, which is the birth of the Lord in different circumstances, the illicit paramarship, which is explained as the relationship between the gopis, and also the killing of the demons. Because for the Lord, the killing and saving is the same. This is all seen. Now, the subject matter is the illicit paramarship. This is going to be explored more and more. Okay. In the supermundane manifestations, there is absolute purity in the seer and the seen. This is very important. That when the pastimes of the Lord are viewed in Goloka, the person who are viewing the pastimes, they are also absolutely pure. When it is viewed by great devotees like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or Jiva Goswami or Srila Prabhupada, our own Srila Prabhupada, they are viewed with pure eyes. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. So their eyes are special. They are anointed with love. Their eyes have extraordinary purity, absolute purity. So when the pastimes are viewed with those eyes, then those pastimes are understood in a certain way. A particularly fortunate person, when he is favored by Krishna, can shake off worldly shackles and connections and enter the transcendental region after attaining the realized taste of the varieties of the dress-up that is available during the period of non-vitiate. Only such person can have a view and taste of the perfect and absolutely pure Leela of Goloka. Such receptive natures are rarely to be found. Okay, then he continues, he who exists in the mundane sphere can also realize the taste of Chidrasa by the grace of Krishna by being enabled to attain the realized state of his service. So for us, if we have to think of understanding that relationship, for us the only possible way of approaching that relationship is service to the spiritual master, because we are affected by the mundane qualities, we are affected by the three modes. For us, the only way that we can try to approach is to get purity. And how to get purity, this is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, that only by serving the great devotees, by serving the Mahat, we can get purification of heart. That purification of heart is the function of service to pure devotees. So when we engage in service to pure devotees, slowly we can purify our mundane nature, and by purification of that mundane nature, we will slowly get qualified, or we'll get purified enough in order to understand and see those pastimes. There are certainly a difference between these two classes of eligible seekers of truth. Until one attains the perfectly transcendental stage, he must be hampered by lingering limitations in his visions of the pastimes of Goloka. So for a sadhaka, for a practitioner, when he looks at the pastimes of Goloka, he understands that they are something divine, but he cannot understand the full depth of the divinity of the pastimes because of his own lingering limitations, which is the influence of the three modes and the influence of ignorance, avidya. As long as avidya and its concomitant features which expand from avidya are present within the heart of the practicing devotee, still the devotee will not be able to understand or fully appreciate the divinity of the divine relationship between Radha and Krishna. Even though at theoretical level he can understand, yes, this relationship is divine, but to fully realize that, those lingering limitations have to be removed. So even within the seers who are looking at the pastimes as divine, there is still distinction between the vision of a Siddha and the vision of a Sadhaka. Then there is further distinction of a person who is neither a Siddha nor a Sadhaka. So it is only those fettered souls who are excessively addicted to worldliness, that are devoid of devotional eye, of them some are enmeshed by the variegatedness of the deluding energy, while others aspire self-annihilation under the influence of the centrifugal knowledge. Though they may have a view of mundanely manifested pastimes of the Supreme Lord, they can have only a material conception of those visible pastimes, this conception being devoid of transcendental reality. This is the third vision, the vision of a person who is not at all a devotee. He is neither a Siddha nor a Sadhaka. Either he is a mental speculator or a Mayavadi who wants to annihilate himself spiritually, or he is simply a Vishayi. He is an Annabilashi. He is a Vishayi. He is simply interested in his own sense gratification. So for them also, these pastimes are visible. It's not that the pastimes are not visible. For them also, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are visible. The pastimes of Krishna and with the gopis are visible. But their understanding of these pastimes is that this is a pastime between a man and a woman, a young boy and a young girl, who are trying to satisfy mutual lust. or they try to understand that they are two divine separate personalities, who is a man and who is a woman, and this man-woman relationship exists between them. Neither of this understanding is correct. The relationship between Radha and Krishna is the relationship between Purusha and Prakriti. This is not a man-woman relationship. For our worldly understanding, we understand Prakriti as feminine and Purusha as male. So we think that Krishna is a conventional male and Radharashini is a conventional female. When I say conventional, we think in material terms. In material terms, we think Krishna as a man, and in material terms, we think Radharani as a woman. Now, it's this conception of Krishna as a man and Radharani as a woman is incorrect, because we cannot project our logic beyond our limited understanding. We understand them like this. So when we understand them like this, then the conclusions which follow is that this is a relationship between man and woman. So when we follow this conclusion, then we always also have a doubt that how Krishna can be Brahmachari. This doubt was expressed previously, that how Krishna can be Brahmachari. No, Krishna is Nitya Brahmachari. Why he is Nitya Brahmachari? Because there is no man-woman relationship between Krishna and Radha. Because we project this understanding of Brahmacharya, which we see in material world, which means that one should not discharge semen. Brahmacharis are urdhva retasaha. They build this, they push their semen upwards. They are called urdhva reta. So we push this understanding of this defective logic on Radha and Krishna, thinking that they are man and woman. And we see that they engage in arduous pastimes, and then we think that how Krishna can be Brahmachari. No, Krishna is Nitya Brahmachari, because Krishna is not a man, Radharani is not a woman. As we think. So Krishna is a Nitya Brahmachari. Okay. So hence the realization of Goloka appears in proportion to the eligibility to the degree of one's self-realization. A very, very fantastic statement which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes. That we can perceive Goloka to the extent of our realization. We cannot perceive Goloka beyond that expectation. Beyond the realization, atastri krishna namadi na bhaved grahyam indriyehi sevan mukehi jivadhu swayam eva spruti adaha. Rupa Goswami says, he says that Krishna's name, form, pastimes, all these things are supramundane. They do not belong to this mundane plane. So if you want to understand them, you cannot understand them through material senses. So what is the remedy left for us? Sevan mukehi jivadhu. We come back to the same point, that one has to serve the devotees, the pure devotees. Mahat mahantaste samachitta prashantaha vimanyava suhrita sadavoye. Rishabhadev says that this is mahat, this is the identity of a mahat, and one has to search out such a mahat in his life, and he has to serve him. And our good fortune is that mahat came in search of us. This is our good fortune. We didn't search out Prabhupada. Prabhupada searched us out. He came out of his own realm of Vrindavana, and then he searched each one of us out, and then he called each one of us, come, engage in service so that you can be happy. So this is our good fortune. Anyway, the invisible and non-visible matters of transcendental region, there is no impurity, contamination and imperfection inherent in the world of limitation. There is only some difference in the matter of realization in proportion to the self-realization of the seekers after the absolute. Okay, so this we have discussed. Now we are going to skip the purport little bit, and then we are going to go little further. According to Srila Rupa and Sri Sanatana, all those pastimes that have been visible in Goloka exist in all purity and free from tinge of limitation in Gokula, or exist in all purity and free from all tinge of limitation in Goloka. So transcendental autocratic paramership also exists in Goloka in inconceivable purity, judged by the same standard and reasoning. All manifestations by the chit potency, yogamaya, are pure. So, as the above paramarship is a creation of yogamaya, it is necessarily free from all contaminations and appertains to the absolute reality. Let us pause to consider what the absolute reality is in himself. Sri Rupa Goswami says, Purvokta Sarvataha. In this regard to these shlokas, Sripada Jiva Goswami, after mature deliberation, has established the transcendental paramarship as Vibhrama Vilasa, something seemingly different from what it appears to be. Such are the pastimes of birth, etc., accomplished by the Yogamaya. So this is very important to understand the relationship between Radha and Krishna. So to say that Radha and Krishna, they are in paramarship, means what? This is to be very clearly understood. It does not mean paramarship as we know in the material world. Paramarship as we know in the material world means that a woman is married to another person and then she has relationship with another paramour. So this is paramarship in material world as we know. However, in the case of the relationship of Radha and Krishna, such material conception of paramarship does not exist. Simply because Radha Rani, as explained before, she is not different from Krishna. She is the antaranga shakti of Krishna. She is the internal potency of Krishna. This is very nicely explained by Srila Prabhupada in Nectar of Instruction, third shloka. When he gives the explanation to this the shloka, Mahatmanastumam Partha Daivim Prakriti Ashritaha. So in third shloka of Nectar of Instruction, in the purport, Prabhupada explains this Daivim Prakriti as Srimati Radharani. You can go and read that part of the purport. It's in the very beginning of the purport. You want to intervene, Prabhu? Can you come back, Prabhu?
Some folks, they say that God Rani is God. So, how do you define that in terms of Vaishnava philosophy?
See, in terms of Vaishnava philosophy, it is very clearly explained that there is a simultaneous oneness and difference which exists between Krishna and Radharani. That in one sense, that this is the first statement which is made by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That he said that Krishna and Radharani are one and at the same time they are same. I mean they are different. So in one sense there is no difference between Krishna and Radharani. In that sense, if Krishna is God, then Radharani is also God. But there is also other sense where Krishna and Radharani are eternally different. So in that sense, Radharani is the spiritual potency of Krishna. And she is known by us, as explained by Mahaprabhu, as the topmost devotee of Krishna. That is our understanding of Srimati Radharani. Okay? So, diverted. So, the point is that the paramarship which is there between Radha and Krishna is not to be understood as the paramarship which is understood in the mundane plane. That is what is explained here. That this is accomplished by Vibhrama Vilasa. Vibhrama means illusion. Vilasa means expansion. The expansion of a certain illusion which is not created by the Mahamaya, which is not created by the external potency of the Lord, but it is created by the internal potency of the Lord, Yogamaya. This expansion of this illusion which is created by the internal potency of the Lord creates this relationship of paramarship. And that relationship of paramarship is completely pure. It is not that Krishna is breaking dharma. Krishna is not breaking dharma in the spiritual world. Because Krishna, in comparison to Krishna's relationship with with Lakshmi as Narayana to the relationship of Krishna with gopis. In relationship of Krishna as Vishnu, who is having his relationship with Lakshmi, there is a one-to-one relationship which is a relationship of wedlock. It's a swakiya bhava. The bhava is also swakiya. The sentiment is also swakiya. There is a wedded relationship between Vishnu and Lakshmi. But there was not a point of time in the known history where Lakshmi and Vishnu were not wedded and their wedding happened. They are eternally in that relationship, because in that world, Vaikuntha, time doesn't exist. So when we say Lakshmi and Vishnu are husband and wife, normally in our subconscious mind, we think that they were separate before and after that they got married at some point of time. No, it's not like that. Their constitution is that they have Swakiya Rasa and Swakiya Bhava. This is how they are constitutionally positioned eternally. But when it comes to Radha and Krishna, it is explained further. I am not able to read the purport because of time. It is explained nicely by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that they are constitutionally present in a way that the gopis think that they are married. They just think that they are married. No, they are not married. They don't have husbands on whom they are having a separate relationship, and they don't have a separate relationship with Krishna. They are having parakiya bhava, which means that their sentiments are parakiya. Krishna has expanded them in a way to think that they are already married. And then he reciprocates that relationship in his own parama relationship. Because that relationship is the ultimate relationship of all rasas, where everything is broken. In that relationship, there is no other consideration except satisfying the paramar. Nothing else comes on the way. So in that way, that relationship is the highest relationship. Since Krishna is explained as Akira Samrita Sindhu, there cannot be any defect in him not experiencing any relationship, especially the highest relationship of exchange of love. Therefore, the exposition of relationship between Radha and Krishna is explained in such a way, or is formed in such a way, that there is a relationship of paramarship. By the arrangement of the Leela Shakti of the Lord, where the Lord has created such situation. However, it is to be clearly understood that it does not mean that Radharani belongs to somebody else, because it is impossible that she will belong to somebody else. She is the internal potency of the Lord. There is no difference between the potency and the potent. So there is no question of Radharani belonging to somebody else and Krishna having a relationship of paramarship with Radharani. So the whole thing is an expansion of the Leela Shakti of the Lord. So when it is reflected on the mundane plane, what happens is explained by Thakur in Jaiva Dharma, that the thought that the gopis have a husband becomes personified to become gopis' husbands in the mundane, in the Prakat Leela. So they are actually not the husbands of the gopis, because gopis don't have any other husband except Krishna. So in that sense, Jiva Goswami explained very clearly that only the bhava is parakiya. Later, but the actual relationship is swakiya. So this has to be very clearly understood, that it's not that the relationship itself is parakiya. The relationship is not, relationship means that the intrinsic connection between Radharani and Krishna is not parakiya, it is swakiya. But the bhava or the sentiment with which they are connected is parakiya. There's a difference between both. And this is accepted by all the acharyas. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also accepts this, that Radharani is Krishna's potency, and in that sense there is no difference between Krishna and Radharani, and there is no relationship of parakiya between them. But the bhava is parakiya. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he emphasized that parakiya bhava because of Dimbarka Sampradaya's influence at that time, where they were saying that the bhava is also swakiya. So he kept on saying to people that no, the bhava is not swakiya, the bhava is parakiya. And he distinguished that relationship also, that as a relationship existing between Krishna and Radha in Goloka Vrindavana, that the relationship of Krishna and Radha existing in Goloka Vrindavana is parakiya bhava. There is no doubt about it. But to think about that parakiya bhava in mundane terms is the mistake of the observer. And to think or expand that relationship as understanding that Radharani has a separate husband and she has a separate relationship with the husband which is outside the relationship of Krishna is mundane observation. That is what is explained by Brahma in the shloka, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis Tabhirya Eva Nijarupa Taya Kalabhi Goloka Eva Nivasat Akhilatma Bhuto Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So when we try to understand Krishna's pastimes with Radharani, and when we try to understand the relationship between Krishna and Radharani, that is why Prabhupada kept on saying to us that this is not a matter to be understood unless one is completely purified. If we try to understand it without purification, then we get into all sorts of mental concoctions. And when we get into this kind of mental concoctions, we also do all sorts of offenses. And when we do all sorts of offenses, then what happens is that instead of simply advancing in devotional service, we start regressing in devotional service. So the best way to understand Srimati Radharani and Krishna is to read Nectar of Instruction. Especially the first four shlokas of Nectar of Instruction. Unless one clearly understands the first four shlokas of Nectar of Instruction, there is no question of progressing further. Unless one clearly practices the first four shlokas of Nectar of Instruction, there is no question of proceeding further. Because Nectar of Instruction ends in Srimati Radharani. But it starts where we are. That is the beauty of that small book, often neglected book. That it starts exactly where we are. All of us want to have Krishna prema. All of us want to have service to the lotus feet of Radharani. But if we want Krishna prema, if we want service to the lotus feet of Radharani, that is not going to happen by speculating about the relationship between Krishna and Radharani or trying to misunderstand the relationship between Krishna and Radharani. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen by writing our own purports to what is Parakya Rasa and what is Swakya Rasa. This is all beyond our conception. Somewhere it is there, far away from our conception. We are here simply affected by our own limitations of the influence of three modes of material nature. That is why Prabhupada always kept on saying that these pastimes are not for us. Till we are purified. It's not that they are not eternally closed for us. And it is not that Prabhupada did not give the highest truth. He gave the highest truth in this purport, which I was talking about. Utsahan nischayat dhairyat tattat karma pravartanat sangatyagat satovrate sadhir bhaktir prasidhyati. In that purport, in the beginning of that purport, the highest truth is given that one should take shelter of Srimati Radharani. This is the highest truth. There is nothing more than this truth. But how to take shelter of Srimati Radharani is explained in that three shlokas, that what urges we should overcome, what we should avoid, and what we should practice. Without overcoming the urges, without avoiding what is to be avoided, and without practicing what is to be practiced, if we jump, it will be called as Markata Vairagya, the renunciation of monkeys. Where the monkeys are in the forest, they are completely renounced, they are totally naked, they are only eating the fruits and roots, but they mate with hundreds of women monkeys. So without giving up the mundane lust, trying to hear the pastimes of the Lord, trying to hear the confidential pastimes of Srimati Radha and Krishna, trying to understand these confidential pastimes of Srimati Radha and Krishna, this is impossible. It is impossible because we cannot even understand the constitutional nature of Radha and Krishna. We have to scratch our head 10,000 times. What is it to understand? So why should we scratch our heads 10,000 times to understand this? There is something which is clearly, specifically, which is in a very quantified way, which is understandably given to us, which is to follow the instructions in the first three shlokas of Nectar of Instruction. Simply, if we do that, we will reach the last shloka of Nectar of Instruction. So that is my quota of Radharani Katha today. Hare Krishna. So if you have any comments, questions, or if there are any corrections, yes.
I just want to say thank you for a very wonderful, illuminating class. It was very nice. And I only want to make one comment. Sounds like Krishna's having a lot of fun.
Ah, of course, he's having a lot of fun.
I mean, like a real lot of fun.
Yeah. It's agreed. He's having a lot of fun. Yeah. Actually, we are also supposed to have a lot of fun. We are in difficulty creating our own difficulty and getting into more and more difficulty in the pretext of becoming happy. This is material world. Nothing more. We are simply creating more and more difficulty in the pretext of becoming happy. Prahlad Maharaj says, in material world, the moment you want to become happy, you have to become difficult. You have to face difficulty. Small child, you know, I was just telling, the child goes to school. What the mother and father say? You have to work very hard and study to do what? To work very hard and earn money to do what? To work very hard and spend that money to do what? To work very hard and earn more money to do what? To work very hard and die like a donkey one day. That's it, finished. Where is the happiness in this whole realm? No, it's not there. It's there in Goloka. But to project that into our mundane logic is defective. This is what we have to understand. This is what we have to understand. We cannot project that into our mundane logic. We have to simply do what is our adhikar. What is our adhikar? Our adhikar is very clearly defined in Nectar of Instruction. That we have to control urges. We should not do the six things which are prohibited. We should follow the six things which are required for us to follow in progressing devotional life. We should always try to chant Hare Krishna. This is all what we are supposed to do. This is our adhikar. And when we simply stick to our adhikar, we can also be happy. Vishwadeva says, Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Satvam Sudhye Esmad Brahma Saukyam Tvanantam. So we can experience the tinge of that Brahma Saukyam by executing what is our adhikar. One may say, yes, this is my adhikar, but I am now Siddha. Okay? Yes. But what Rupa Goswami's instruction to Siddha in material world? Seva sadhaka rupena. That even if you are a Siddha, that you behave like a sadhaka. This is Rupa Goswami's instruction. Because a Siddha will behave like a sadhaka by his own maturity. We have seen Prabhupada. Prabhupada is a Siddha, but he was so down to earth. He was chanting his rounds, he was doing deity, he was doing everything. He taught us everything. He didn't say, oh, I am Siddha. I am beyond all these rules and regulations. I need not be clean, I need not be this, I need not be that. No. He was so particular that everything has to be clean. He was so particular that everything has to go on time. I was told that when Prabhupada was in Australia one time, that the aarti got delayed by 1 minute, and Prabhupada made a comment that it's very difficult to be Brahmanical for 1 minute delay in starting of the aarti. Prabhupada was so punctual. Prabhupada was so he was a stickler for rules. He didn't behave that, no, I'm a Siddha, I'm beyond rules and I'm, no. That is an example which we need to follow. We need to dress like what Prabhupada wanted us to dress. Not the way we will want to dress. Not our dress should not be an exposition of our lust. No. We need to dress properly. We need to behave properly. We need to speak properly. Everything needs to be done into spick and span. We need to be gentlemen. We need to be lady and gentlemen. This is devotee. We have to understand all these things before throwing away our dress in dancing. No, this is not the way for us. We are not supposed to do all these things. Yes, of course, we are supposed to dance in front of the deity. But Prabhupada also taught us how to dance nicely in front of the deity. Everything is there. Everything is to be understood clearly. One should not act beyond his adhikar. Unless one acts within his adhikar, one cannot progress. This has to be understood. This has to be clearly and definitely understood. And once that is understood, then everything else will manifest. It's okay? Any comments from Mataji's? Question? Yes, Prabhu. This will be last question, so it's already late. And whoever wants to go can go.
Thank you so much. There are so many important points you made throughout the whole exposition. We take so long. I just wanted to observe one point regarding actually the proper oneness and difference of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. Srimati Thakur explains the science of Parinamabhava Tattva or Parinamabhava Rasa, meaning the transformation of energies of the Lord as vital element for our progress. Similarly, to the rules of Rasa Vasa. So, in one sense, we, as parts and parcels of the Lord, we also have different personalities. When I am in here, I act differently. When I am in the bathroom, in the altar, in my home, whatever. So the English language sometimes is weak, because personality has two meanings, as a person and also as a character. So the Lord somehow he becomes attracted to Radharani because he, the supreme person, doesn't know how she thinks. Although in another capacity is not Krishna Vrindavan, but as Narayana also, like that. So just I wanted to make this observation because you also pointed out nicely the oneness and difference. The two persons are one, but simultaneously in action, when Radharani starts to act, is his personality, Krishna's personality, as internal energy person, that in different manifestations, he also appears in different personalities in Tattva. Krishna Vrindavan, Krishna Mathura, Krishna Dwaraka, Krishna Vaikuntha. But in Rasa, he had to relate differently. But she is the queen, as you pointed out, of all Rasas.
Thank you. This is not my adhikar to discuss this whole point, actually. I normally would not have discussed these things. But I brought this up in order to relate it to the last conclusion which I wanted to bring. That one is that, see, my take home for this class is that one is that there is no need to get into speculation of the relationship between Radharani and Krishna because it is beyond our understanding. That's now one thing. Second is that we have our own adhikar which we have to do. These are the two things. In order to bring that whole point, I just touched this subject into the class. So maybe my presentation is not exactly good, but this is the reason why I touched this topic. But definitely it is not my adhikar to present this subject matter. Thank you very much. Thank you. Radhashtami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bol Premanande.